This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next up, it's a Plains FM feature interview, keeping you in touch with the people and events happening in our Canterbury community.
Kia ora, and welcome to this Plains FM feature interview. Today, we have Cheryl Doig, chairperson of Aka'otatahi Learning City Christchurch. And we also have Jo Earle, who's the principal of St. Francis of Assisi Catholic School. And she's been involved with an event called Digital Pen Pals, which was in collaboration with Rafferty School. And we're going to be talking about the Remake Learning Days Festival, which is currently happening across the city here in Otatahi Christchurch. Remake Learning Days, or Aka'otatahi Remake Learning Days, is a movement to foster family and community-based learning, and it has thousands of events taking place around the world over April and May each year. The events have been happening in Christchurch for the last several years, and I hear from Cheryl there's discussions about what the future of the festival will look like as well. So welcome to the program, Cheryl.
Thanks so much for having me.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what your role is with Remake Learning Days?
Sure. So I work as a futurist. My company is called Think Beyond, and I'm particularly interested in futures thinking, strategic foresight, and intergenerational fairness. And I'm chair of Aka'otatahi Learning City Christchurch, and we're a charitable trust that's focused on bringing equity, access, and innovation to the greater Christchurch region, and looking at how we might create a city where everyone is connected, where people understand that learning happens in all sorts of different spaces, not just in schools, but business, community, young people, elderly, and connecting those so that we're thriving as a whole city.
So how does the festival represent all of those ideals?
We have about 45 events, I think, this year. This is our fifth year of Remake Learning Days, of our Aka'otatahi Learning City Festival. And what we aim to do is just invite people who are connected to our particular theme of innovation and learning and exploring creativity and the future of learning to run an event, to be a host, essentially. And we just put those into one site so people can access them, and we advertise them. But they're hosted by a whole range of different people, from the ACE Network for Adult Community Education through to a Minecraft for primary age children that was focusing on collaborating to develop this amazing boardwalk through the red zone. So they're just magic, but they come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes: technological, sustainability, future of learning, you name it, and there's probably something in there.
Wonderful. So, Jo, from your point of view with a group of young people or a school community, how has the participation in Remake Learning Days benefited your students?
Okay, so participating in days like this creates a bigger audience for our students, basically. So we're looking for any chance for our students to get involved and collaborate with people, not just students, not just their peers, but adults. And getting involved in this day and creating this event has allowed for our students, a small group of students, to interact with adults and try and grow a bigger audience for their learning.
And so what did the event entail?
So our event was called Digital Pen Pals, and so all of our students from at Rafferty School and our school have their own learning blogs. So it's sometimes difficult. The children are blogging 2 to 3 times a week about different parts of their learning, and it's sometimes quite difficult to get feedback on those blogs because it's a lot. So we try to encourage parents to get on there and give feedback, and we have a feedback model that we use. But we know that it's quite hard, so we're quite keen to grow our audience and get the children to get some more feedback on their learning. So what it's meant is that the children have been talking to people in the mall, and we've been in the Palms Mall talking to people and asking them, could they give us 10 minutes a week to comment on their students' learning to help them with their learning.
And how did the event go?
Okay, so we've still got another day to go. Yes, I actually think today was quite successful. Obviously, we're going to have to wait and see whether that actually pans out to be more audience and to see whether people will actually engage. But there was certainly a level of interest from the people around, yep.
And how did the students find it going out and interacting with the general public? That can be quite daunting for anyone.
Yeah, the students loved it, actually. And once they'd spoken to a couple of people, they were on a real roll. So, I think they enjoyed it, and they realised that the worst that can happen is someone will say no. And a lot of people didn't do that. A lot of people took the flyer away and a few instructions about how to access all the blogs. So the proof will be in whether or not we get some comments on the blogs, but we'll be looking out for those in the next couple of days.
You mentioned that the general public could engage with your students in viewing and commenting on their blog. What are some of the other ways that your students have engaged with Ako Otatahi Learning Days? Have they been involved in any of the other events?
I don't think my students at my school have been yet, but I think we won't miss the opportunity again.
I think the students from the two schools have been focused on getting this event up and running. And so throughout the week, there are groups of students that have been involved in things, as I said, from the Minecraft. There's one next week too that's involving digital technologies, because it's also Tech Week next week, and that will be for Māori and Pacifica students. Tomorrow evening, there's one that's for secondary students who've been linking with business, a program called E Whiti E Whiti. So lots of different ages, lots of possibilities to explore. But what I really loved about being down and watching the digital pen pals is the engagement with the local rest home, because that's where real intergenerational conversations happen. And so the local rest home, some of the residents came down and the children were talking about their blogs, and just to see that sharing with the elder folks and the young people was really stunning.
That's very true. It's pretty cool.
I should mention as well that it's not limited to children. As you mentioned, Cheryl, the ACE providers are also involved. So it really is a festival for everyone. It isn't just for school children, although that is an exciting part of getting to get out of the classroom and try out different activities. What are some of the events that you have been to, either in your own capacity as a learner or as part of your capacity as event organizer or host or as a chairperson? Are there any favorites or really interesting things that have stood out?
Well, if I take Monday, I started off by going to the Minecraft workshop, which was with primary age children, and then called into one that was run by Hafsa Ahmed from Unquiet, and she calls herself an optimistic futurist. And she was running one that was for personal reflection and growth and thinking about your own personal learning. And in particular, that was focused on ethnic women, although open to anyone. And then from there, I went to the Future of Training, which was an amazing two-hour workshop for people that are in business, HR, training, anyone that was interested, really. And they were put through a whole futures exercise exploring what training might look like in the future and how that related to Microbytes, which is a startup for micro-credentials. So I just love the fact that there's that diversity. And all of those three events were at Turanga, and I can't speak highly enough of the libraries as a great place for learning to happen. So the event that is happening from 3 to 5 at Turanga this afternoon is focused on creating a thriving learning city 2050, and that's being hosted by Josh Huff and Alice Diamond. And it has people from young adults, so 18 plus, through to people in business, iwi, all sorts of different community groups. And that's what I love, because you get the richness of a whole lot of people talking about learning and the possibilities for creating and developing further a city that's quite magical in terms of its creativity and possibilities for more future-focused learning opportunities for all.
It sounds like there's been a really diverse group of event organizers get involved. How do organizers benefit from the platform of the Ako Otatahi Learning Days Festival?
Well, I'll start that conversation, and then it'd be great to hear what Joe's got to say. But I think from my point of view, they benefit by sometimes connecting with groups that they wouldn't have. So it's, if you treat learning days as a bit of a nudge to do something that they may not have thought of, or that they may have been thinking about but hadn't got around to. And so it's just that great opportunity to be able to connect with a group and then learn from it and use it as a stepping stone. And also sometimes they make a connection with a different group that's running an event, and they can follow up and do some more work together. So those are some of the benefits I see. But Joe, it would be interesting to know what you think.
So for us, for our event, I don't think it would have happened without the support that we got through Ako Otatahi, in the sense that we had help even just sitting and thinking out loud about the idea in the initial stages. So we had Cheryl for that, and Sam. And once we came up with an idea, sort of just people asking us really good questions that sort of made us think more deeply about what we were trying to achieve. I think once that was done, then we were able to Sam was able to link us up with the right people, so we didn't have to make those contacts. Sometimes when you've got to do all of those things yourself, that just can seem a little bit too hard. So he just made all those links. And then as we got closer and closer to the event, just the offers of support, even just with printing the flyers or getting the posters up or making sure the setup was all done, that made the event happen for us. So, yeah, really appreciated it.
I think it sounds like it's been a very beneficial relationship to have had.
Absolutely.
Potentially the continuation of something. So their project, learning from it and doing something else that really builds on something really useful for the students, but also a shout out to the Palms Mall, who have been really supportive of trying to bring community in. So, yeah, I think it's a win-win.
Absolutely.
Speaking of community, how have you engaged the iwi and the local Māori population? You mentioned a few events earlier. I'd love to hear more about that.
Again, coming back to the Minecraft, that has a strong Māori influence in its work. So we do expect that events keep iwi in mind, and that looks different from event to event. So the one that we're hosting this afternoon, Josh, who is kaiwhakahaere of the Ako Otatahi Learning City Christchurch Trust, he is co-facilitating with Alice Diamond, who is Ngai Tahu, and they're using a framework called Te Kore Kore Ka, which is a kawa future making process, and so that's embedded into the mahi. And next week, as part of Tech Week, but still strongly connected with our work, there's a day where Māori and Pacifica primary students will be coming into Tūranga and taking part in a whole lot of digital programs, and they have got Māori and Pacifica Digitech people coming into work with them, so that they get the idea that there's all sorts of possibilities for them in the world of work, and that the skills and technology are ones that they can learn from. So that's another really exciting opportunity. There's a lot of potential that needs to be in community, by community, for community.
And you mentioned employment. How does it bridge the divide between education and employment?
I think that's the the thing that we try and do is look at the whole ecosystem or the network and say, look, there's all of these things happening and they're all connected to the world of work and it doesn't happen by accident. And so that's part of our job during the event, but also afterwards, storytelling the things that are happening in the city and making links. And if I take the workshop that we're running this afternoon on a thriving city 2050. And the aim from that is to start a conversation for business, community, the whole pathways of learning to be developed, and then to create a resource and an ongoing conversation about how we might continue to do that work. So learning futures, as well as our learning days, learning futures is an important part of one of the threads of our work, as is digital equity. So they all combine over the course of the year. We do expect that we'll produce a resource, a manifesto, a suggested way of moving forward. And this is just the next phase of a whole lot of really interesting conversations.
We're sort of halfway through the week. Have there been any really exciting events that you're wanting to sort of bring forward for future events?
I'd say all of the ones I've only been to visit a small number, but they've all been magnificent. Coming back to the one I've just come from, which Joe and Liz Rafferty and St Francis of Assisi schools, really successful. Yesterday I went to the Climate Action Campus and saw groups of children rotating through a whole several different climate action games where they were really challenged and put into groups where they had to think and then do things differently because the model that they were developing didn't work unless they collaborated. So where there's something that's an outcome or a lesson learnt or an aha, a next step, that's for me is the real magic of that. And we've got events coming up that are in the sustainability sort of space. So composting, for example, you know what that looks like, and that's a really interesting thing because you get people of all different ages coming along to find out about composting, and the young women that run that workshop do a stunning job in creating the networks and the conversations for learning to happen. So I'd say it's all successful, but obviously I'm a bit biased.
Thinking about the future of the festival and that you're off to an event, sort of thinking about learning up to 2050, how do you see the festival developing in Christchurch?
I think after this festival, so this is our fifth year, it started small and has meandered along, partly because of COVID, but it's gone from strength to strength, but we have to consider next steps, which bits we think add the most value and where our time's best spent. So we'll do an evaluation at the end. We always send out an evaluation to those who have attended, taken part in running events, but also the city. And I think from there we'll work out next steps. We, 2 years ago, partnered with Remake Learning, who started a Remake Learning Days in Pittsburgh, and they have grown and they're in several other countries as well now. And they have been really good as partners because they have a whole lot of resources and media ideas, et cetera, that we've been able to learn from and to share with other people around the world. So that's been a huge bonus. But going forward, we might just carry on doing the same. We might get bigger. We might decide that we're going to focus down into some different areas. But I think it's also dependent on funding because, like many other charitable trusts, we rely on donations and support from community. And so it will depend on how smart we can be on the shoestring budget that we have.
And Joe, how have the students found the learning days? Do you think they're interested in trying out any of the other activities that are on offer?
Look, we've had our heads down getting ready for this event and acting out this event today. And I think that's probably a next step for us to look at what else is on offer and get involved in other things. So I'd like to think that next year we might be involved in hosting an event, but we also might be able to get a few children out to some of the other events. We haven't done that this year.
And to be fair, I think the landscape of change in New Zealand in education and the things that schools are now having to pivot to do has meant that a lot of schools have bandwidth.
Yeah.
Perhaps to be doing a whole range of different things, but that's why for us it's critically important to look for different ways of learning and to keep saying that curiosity and diversity and support for Māori are really key parts of what we should build into every learning opportunity, whether it's in schools or whether it's in community or in business. So you know, we have a really important part in keeping that conversation alive and also moving it forward, so that we see that as part of our role to be future focused and explore opportunities.
Wonderful. I think we'll wrap up here. Did either of you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
I had a van, well, six children in a van who are very excited to go back tomorrow. So that's cool in itself. And they were sitting and thinking about how they could do things better. So I know that they have been, they're starting to do some critical thinking about the event. And, you know, that's success for us in itself. So, yeah, pretty happy.
I love that. I think that's a great way to finish, because what better way of showing learning than you want to come back tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for taking time out of your very busy days to chat with us here at Plains FM.
Awesome.
If you are interested in taking part in the Ako Otatahi Remake Learning Days Festival over the next few days, head on over to the remakelearningdays.org website and select Find Events and look up what's happening in Christchurch. A few highlights coming up are the Efiti Efiti celebration, and this is happening from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Turanga. This is a celebration where students are pitching solutions to real-world problems provided by local industry throughout the Greater Christchurch region. Another fun event by WEA is happening on Friday, May 17th from 12 to 4 p.m., where Canterbury Museum will be presenting their collection up close. From moa toes to insect trays and Antarctic gloves, you will get to come and see interesting items from the Canterbury Museum collection. And science communicator Dr. Morgan Marion will bring these items to life by sharing their background stories. As Cheryl recommended, there is Recipe for Regeneration this Saturday, May 18th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. And that is Recipe for Regeneration, the composting workshop. And you will join Jess and Caitlin Lamb from the Christchurch University Compost Club and Forest and Bird Youth to learn how to make compost. This will be a hands-on workshop on all things compost. More along that line, there is a foraging walk, winter edition, and this is at the Richmond Community Garden, which is a fun family event to learn about new plants. And you'll start walking with the fungi team and explore the nearby red zones. That starts at 2 p.m. and runs until 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, May 18th, and that's at 350 River Road. This Sunday, there is a financial capability drop-in clinic run by the Pacific People's Trust. You can drop in to the Papanui Library for advice and help with your finances. More on Sunday. Food Forest from Edible Canterbury looks at the whole system and green building design in our central city. This event, you will explore the Otakaro Orchard Food Forest and the Exemplar Education Hub, which is soon going to be a cafe, to see how lessons we learn from nature can be implemented into our built environment. If you're busy over this weekend, don't worry. There are still a few more events coming up in June. There's WebWise Wellness Expo 2024 from Digital Waitaha, which provides a holistic approach to solving our community's most significant digital challenges. This event aims to empower individuals to manage their digital safety and well-being by creating opportunities to engage in programs that improve upon digital skills. On June 18th, you can also take part in B-Day Buzz from the Richmond Community Garden. Head on down to Riverlution at 46A Vogel Street for a morning filled with the magic of bees. This is an all-ages event, so little ones are welcome, and the experience is promising to be awesome. Thank you to Joe and Cheryl for taking part in this interview and sharing their experience and knowledge of the Ako Otatahi Remake Learning Days Festival. Again, for more information, head to remakelearningdays.org to find out more about what's happening in Otatahi.
You've been listening to a Plains FM featured interview, keeping you in touch with what's happening in our Canterbury community.